You make any New Year's resolutions?
No, because everyone's going to break them anyways. What the hell happened?
I try to make one not to masturbate more, but I need a little help in that. I need to get the females to come over to help me to stop masturbating in 2017.
I think my New Year's resolutions were going to be I plan on playing more video games, scratching my ass more as much as I can. So at least I won't break my New Year's resolutions.
That just sounds like someone who's unemployed. With a new show deep in the basement, professionalism turned off, screw the ad placement, skit comedy trolling, plate full of dough, people get offended, you don't get the show. Alright, we're back. You don't get the show, 2017. I'm Jay LaRock, he's Randy. What's up?
What's up, playa? New year, new us. Well, new year, same us, but what the hell?
Man, you know, I hate the new year because everyone decides to make those resolutions, and, you know, I like going to the gym. Believe it or not, even though you see this, I actually like going to the gym. And you go there now, and it's like all these people who are, I guess, freaked out by how much weight they gained over the holidays. And they're like, I got to lose 20 pounds this year. So everyone's going to be in the gym for the next month, and then they're going to just quit. But for like January and like half of February, going to the gym sucks because you have people there that don't know gym etiquette. They don't know to clean up shit, you know. I'm starting 2017 pissed.
You get those fucking videos of those guys using the fucking gym machines completely wrong and shit. Those are the people that show up.
And leave it all sweaty, man. The worst thing in the world is to fucking leave it sweaty after you're done. You know, it's like you're working out, you know you're sweating, you get up, you see all that nasty slime sitting there on the seat. Can't you just take a minute to wipe it down with your towel? No, they just walk off. Like someone else wants to go sit in your swamp.
Oh God! See, this is why I've accepted, you know, my as I said before, I am in shape because pear is a shape, so I am in shape.
As long as you can fit in your desk chair, it's all good.
So I can play. Break a desk chair, or I can fit into my clothes. I'm good.
You know something else? I'm committed because you know we are from Miami originally, even though you're not in Miami anymore at the moment.
I'm enjoying the fucking foot of snow that dropped the other day and freezing my nuts off.
Yeah, in 2017, I'm going to be more inclined to let people know that, yes, this is Miami. You know, Ignacio was like, you shouldn't mention Miami. It's a universal show. And it's like, yeah, but I'm here, and it's got to mention some of the things that I notice as weird. And you know what's weird down here? So they have those express lanes where they just have the plastic cones. And since it's Miami and people don't give a shit, they're just running those plastic cones over. So they put up signs that say, if you run over the plastic cones, it's a minimum $165 fine. It's weird though, because I was driving in Miami, it says $179. And then when you get out towards Broward, it goes down to $165. I'm like, is the plastic cones in Miami worth more? Or do more dumbass Miami drivers just keep knocking over those plastic cones?
It's either that or they sat there at 165 and people are like, fuck it, I'll pay it. And they ran them over. So they're like, all right, let's see what freaking value we can put where people will be like, oh, that's too fucking much.
And those things will scratch up your car. I mean, yeah, they bend and stuff when you walk over. But I see people in fancy cars. I don't know if they're leasing it or they just don't give a fuck. Maybe it's mom and dad's car. And they're just boiling over it, bowling over it. And it's like, man, you don't care about scratching up your shit?
Well, shit, up here they did a thing where now all the tolls, so they removed all the manned tolls up here. So literally all the tolls up here are all electronic. So you either do one of two things. You either get yourself the speed pass up here, or they do a pay-by-plate where it snaps a photo, and then you log on and you go, okay, here's my money, and you pay for your tolls and shit. And it's like, damn, dude, they got serious. And I mean, I was like, they were talking about on the radio for a while, like, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. They're like, all right, you know, this is the day, cold day. We're knocking shit down. And then they had it, like, on the news that they're like, yep, tomorrow's the last day. And it was a Friday was, the last day that it was going to be in effect with people manning the tolls. And I shit you not, Saturday morning, I turn on the news. They're showing these fuckers closed, you know, the outgoing from the city lanes down to one lane. And they were knocking these bitches over. The whole old toll plaza, just knocking them over and letting people go by one. And then once they cleaned up all that, then they opened up the rest of it and knocked the rest of it. I was like, damn, these guys were serious when they were like, this shit's going away.
See, they did that down here, and it was really crazy at first because you got a lot of old people in Miami. So what you would end up seeing is you would have the old people who would have the SunPass thing in their hand. Now, you're supposed to mount it on your car somewhere, or maybe you put it on your dash. This motherfucker holds it outside the car as if they just thought the sensor was so fucking weak it couldn't penetrate the glass. He's like out there waving and shit, about to drop it. I saw another old person that slowed down because they thought that maybe, you know, light and beams couldn't connect unless he's going 10 miles an hour. Everyone's honking, screaming at him in like every language known to man, get the fuck out the way. And then the worst yet, I remember I was in the car, there's a friend of mine, Bobby. We were driving. And I'm like, hey, can you get the SunPass out of the glove compartment? He gets it and he holds it up. And this is when they still had the little bars that were They got rid of that shit because I think people were actually going so fast they were hitting the bars before it could register the SunPass.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that shit. I was going for it, and I was not going that fast, so I knew the bar was going to open. I've done this like hundreds of times. But my friend didn't realize it, and so he freaks out. And he drops the SunPass.
Oh, damn it.
Luckily, it still automatically opens up because I swear if I would have hit that fucking pole, I would have beat his ass. I would have thrown his ass in the little change thing. Make him pay. I mean, good God. That makes me rage, you know?
The rage quitter. Yo, I had that shit happen to me last night, me and a couple friends. So I will admit, like, I've gotten to that point in World of Warcraft where literally I'm just, like, logging on, checking my World Quest, doing my World Quest dailies, and then I'm out. So I'm like, okay, I need to play some other shit. So I've been playing more Battlefield 1, and I hate to say it, I got back to, although it infuriates the fuck out of me, got back into Overwatch, and yo, last night we were playing, and I was playing with D.Va. And I have to laugh because of just how it happened. I literally was sitting there, had my ult built up, and they had a sniper. We were playing the new Oasis map. There was a sniper way in the back from where around where their team comes out of, and she was just taking pop shots at my team. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to scare the piss out of her. I'm just going to, like, launch the mech, and then I'm going to do my ult so it just keeps flying back there. And I'm like, she'll go running around the corner or whatever. I won't kill nobody. Fuck it. Yo, I launch this bitch, just jump out and turn around, just run back towards my team. Ended up getting a triple kill and killed the turret that they had set up there. And I was like, well, that was unexpected. Yo, literally, the match ends, we win the round, their whole damn team just rage quit the fuck out. Just like, peace, boom, gone. And I'm like, well.
It's always great when you can get someone to rage quit, unless you're in a game like Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of our first stories for tonight. So Capcom has decided that if you rage quit in Street Fighter V, that you'll be branded with a mark of shame. And it's kind of funny because I remember playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and you would go up against some of these people and you'd start beating them. And then second round, and if it looks like you're going about to win, they'd quit. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, why are you quitting? And, you know, the article talks about how it's a lot of people do that for two main reasons. One is so that they can keep their win-loss ratio, which I don't. That should count against you anyway. Like, it should give you like half a loss or something if you rage quit. Because that's bullshit. Like, you should maybe get a couple of points where after you know, obviously you can have network trouble, but man, if you start doing it after a while, that's bullshit. And then the other reason is just a troll. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how people are out there trolling people by quitting instead of giving you the victory. And I've heard that in Madden too. Like, people will quit that. Like, when you're kicking their ass in that, or NBA 2K, whatever. They didn't even. But now they're putting these special markers on you. It's going to be like a skull. It's going to be on your profile. And like every time you do it, it's going to let people know, like, hey, this guy is a piece of shit. So it'd be like, I guess it's not like the Walk of Shame in Game of Thrones. It's more like the Scarlet Mark or something they put on your face.
It's interesting because I had heard about this also before, and they were saying that once you get this mark on your account, when you go to play online, it will only group you up and play against other people that have this mark.
Yeah.
So
it's like a dickbags league.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, congratulations, you've run to the rank one of the douchebaggery league. And it's interesting, like, in seeing what Capcom's doing with this, like, Blizzard's done a very good job, I think, of doing kind of the same thing with Overwatch, where you would have people do the same thing, where you'd be in a ranked match or you're playing for your rank level, and then you'd have these like solo queue people that would realize, fuck it, this you know, this thing's going ass up, and they would quit. And the thing was, is the way that Overwatch worked is once you were in a ranked match, if somebody leaves, it does not put somebody else in that spot. So as opposed to if you're playing just like a quick match or whatever, it'll find somebody, just throw them in and whatever. But ranked, now you ended up having one person leave. Now it's a 6-on-5. And then, of course, you'd have other people that are like, well, it's 6-on-5. I'm going to lose this match. F this. Then it was like 6-on-4 or 6-on-3, you know? Oh. Or you'd have the whole match just end because everybody would quit. So it would suck because even if you stayed and everybody else quit, you would still get pegged with a loss.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, so it would mess up all the initial rankings of everybody and all that. So now they've actually made it where if you, like, quit, it'll put, like, a 10-minute ban where you can't re-queue for ranked. I think on regular matches, if you quit early now, they're putting, like, a 10-minute or 5-minute ban that you can't re-queue for a match. And if you keep doing it, not only will it keep that 10-minute ban on you that before you can re-queue up, but it starts putting where you get only like 75% less experience to your profile per match, and it'll do it for a certain amount of matches depending on how many times in a row you've quit out of games.
They should just lock your whole computer. They should make it so, like, if you quit out, because, you know, you quit and then you're like, oh, I got a 5-minute, 10-minute ban. They have, like, League of Legends. Like, if you leave a match, it's like 15 minutes, and it'll grow up a little bit if you do it more than once. So I'm like, man, they should just lock your whole computer, because you're like, hey, let me go turn on some porn or watch some TV shows. It's like, nope, your whole computer is locked for 15 minutes. Go sit in the corner, you rat bastard.
And if anybody could do it, it would be Blizzard, because if they could figure out, like, you sit there and use a hack, and they can sit there and ban your account and any other account you ever make out of that computer, they can figure out how to lock your computer down.
And they lock all the Blizzard games, so you're like, okay, I did this in Overwatch, let me go play some StarCraft, and StarCraft is like, you punk, you can't play this game either. You're like, I'll play WoW, it's like, loser, you can't play this game either.
Give you that fucking, that res sickness thing that you get, do 75% less damage and shit.
You go on the internet, you can't even surf on the internet. It'll just take you to sites teaching you how not to be a dickbag anymore.
That'd be hilarious.
Oh, my God. Speaking of dickbags, in our second story.
Segway!
I don't know how a person does this, man. How do you spend millions of dollars or just thousands of dollars on a mobile game?
So.
Like, I don't get it. Like, I was reading the story and I still couldn't believe it. I'm like, of course I know of the Game of War, but I don't – how?
The thing that gets me is, like, when I first heard this, I was like, all right, if it's like a kid that just didn't know, but it's a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Yeah, a grown-ass man spent $4 million that he stole from the company that he worked at to fucking sink it towards this. And it's like – holy Christ, dude. Like, I can understand how these guys set up this whole, like, these games, like the Game of War and the, what the hell's the other one? That Clash of Clans shit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I don't want to sit and wait for the timer. But for God's sake, man. I mean, I would honestly tell you, the only reason I can even think of why it got this huge for this guy and that he spent it like that, because in his mind he was like, fuck it, it's not my money, so I don't give a shit. But $4 million, holy shit, you could have done so much more with that money instead of wasting all this shit.
Yeah, so if you guys don't know the story, this guy, Kevin Lee, he's from California, and he works for like a Caterpillar, which is the construction company affiliate. He basically stole like $4 million. He spent like $1 million of it in Game of War, and the rest of it was spent on things. Let's see, it said here, expensive cars, plastic surgery. I mean, really? NFL season tickets, and last but not least, at least Game of War microtransactions. But I mean, the thing is, what kind of microtransactions? I mean, I've talked before about my time at Nexon and with MapleStory. And I was so surprised when they would tell us about the high rollers. And I'm thinking when they say high rollers, I'm thinking like maybe a couple of thousand bucks in a month. And I'm thinking that's crazy. No, some of these people in that game would spend like $10,000, $20,000 in a month. And I'm like, even if I was a multimillionaire, I just don't know how you do it. And I guess that's just like anything else. You know, somebody will find that thing and be like, yo, fuck it.
That's
make your rain in Games of War.
That's insane. That's like, bro, like, if you're gonna sit there and spend that kind of money, like, do yourself a bender, like, spend it on fucking drugs and hookers or something else. But Game of War, dude, seriously, like, that is insane. And like I said, the only like in my mind that can be like the rational thinking of what it would have been. Is it's not my money, I don't care. And the guy was just like, I don't want to sit and wait. Like, that's the only two things that I could even think of that in his mind, it was okay. But like, holy crap, dude. Like, either way, like looking at the thing where it sits there, it says like, you know, his attorney is seeking a lesser charge through a plea deal. Like, and the fact that this guy's like, all I could say is good luck with that. That is true right there. Because unless this guy's got Johnny Cochran in his corner, that fucker's going to jail.
He's going to get Arnold Schwarzenegger to defend him.
Jesus Christ.
Look, I've decided, look, Judge, look, tell you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to switch over to Mobile Strike, and I swear I'm going to spend less money. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to come in and be like, I approve.
that or he's going to have, what's her name, freaking come in and be like, yeah, he was the one that was able to get me into that little outfit for the commercial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so this guy basically pled guilty to charges of wire fraud and money laundering, and they both carry a minimum 20 years jail time. So I guess he's going to be playing a different Game of War in prison.
Yeah, he's going to be playing the hide the soap.
Yeah, there's microtransactions. Well, actually, there's macro transactions.
So you're saying is the key to that is either become somebody's bitch or kick somebody's ass the first day he goes in. That's the only bit of advice we could give you.
Yeah, if he's playing Game of War, he's going to be the one getting his ass kicked. So he's better be holding some pockets.
Become somebody's bitch right away.
Yeah, he just walks in. They'll be like, hey, are you the Game of War guy? He's like, yes. He's like, hey, everybody, bitch here.
Mm-hmm. Who ain't got the piece of ass this month yet?
I mean, I used to think it was bad when, you know, back in the day with arcades, and I would go and I would have my lunch money and I would take like half of it and go to the place where you get 8 tokens for a dollar and go play video games. And I thought after a while I was becoming an addict because I was spending way too much money going there. I mean, it got to the point where anytime I had a couple of dollars, I knew I could play a couple of games because I'd go play the games I knew I could beat. And 8 tokens for a dollar is great. I mean, you know, that's back then when you'd actually find these arcades that have a deal. It's not like the arcades where A, it would just be quarters, and B, everything in there took tokens. And it wasn't 2 tokens, 3 tokens, no bullshit like that. Everything was 1 token. So you had 8 games for a dollar, and that arcade made a lot of money. But, I mean, man, I don't understand how you get to thousands. What else? Up to $1 million in microtransactions. I mean, yes, this was over years, like 2008 to 2015.
Bro,
he was an accountant too. That's the worst part. Oh, this guy was the accountant of the company, this company called Holt, the Caterpillar affiliate. So this guy was like, he knew the books, and he's like skimming and shit and doing all types of tricks. And it's like, yo, let me get that plastic surgery. Let me get them NFL tickets and let me play Games of War while I'm doing all that shit.
That is the internet. This is how you fuck up your career and never get a job in what you're good at. But it's like shit like that. Seriously, it's like if you're going to spend that kind of money on that kind of a shit, give it to me. I'll come over to your house. I'll kick you in the balls, which is the same thing as what you're going to get. And then everything's all done with. You know,
there's nothing in there talked about, like, ladies, right? Like, maybe the plastic surgery to help his hideous face because he's playing Games of War.
And expensive cars, you know, was just to get women.
Yeah. So I guess maybe that's what it led to. I mean, maybe if they have put in some pictures of the ladies that he got, but I don't know. You still spend – if he took four and, you know, that's 25%. 25% of all the money he stole went to a mobile game. Your priorities are still fucked up.
Ooh, and to link back to our before the end of the year special, if he like goes over to Japan, he can like get one of those loans where he just sends some naked pictures of himself, and then there you go, he can pay off. He can pay the money back.
Yeah, after the plastic surgery, if you got the right kind, I guess.
Take a picture of his taint, you know, and just send it off.
I mean, good God. Yeah, so I don't know about that plea deal. That's another type of game, and you can't skill your way out by paying. I guess in a way you can, now that I think about it. You pay enough money, you get a good lawyer, you kind of are paying to win.
I'm telling you, you gotta get a Johnny Cochran.
Get some stuff. Well, they gotta do a seance to get him.
If he gets himself a Johnny Cochran level attorney, man, they'll fucking get him off.
I mean,
Your Honor, he did not know what he was doing when he hit that accept button. He does not understand how to read English.
They should build like a special prison for people who do these new type of crimes, like crimes that weren't available like 15 years ago. They should put, I mean, granted, he's getting, you know, convicted for wire fraud, money laundering, which are old ass crimes. But when people do a crime based on something stupid like that, you need to be in a special jail just so that we know, like, all these people are the new wave of idiots.
You know, crime does not pay children. Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
So I loved going to CES when I went the first time, basically because it was in Vegas. I mean, you don't really need an excuse to go to Vegas, but if you're a geek and a nerd like me, and then you go there and you're able to go to CES and see all the stuff that they have, and then you're in Vegas, I mean, that is an awesome combination. And at the same time, actually, I think it was like a week later, they had the porno, like, Oscars. I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I read up on this that, yeah, they give out awards for pornography for all types of things. You know, best doggy style, best girl on girl, best this and that. Best music. I mean, technical stuff too. Best director, best writer. I didn't know there was really even writer in movies anymore. Because I know those old fashioned pornos actually had a storyline, and I remember seeing some of them. I'm like, who the hell puts this much work into a porno? I mean, this guy was doing Shakespeare and shit. But yeah, they actually have that. Now inside, look, when I went, this was what, like 2008, so 8 years ago now. I mean, when I went, they didn't have – well, I didn't see any porno companies there. Or if there was, I was in the wrong department. But now with VR and everything, that's blowing up. Like, everyone's talking about – I like how on the commercials, whenever they show the VR headset, they'll show, like, a family playing bowling or something. Nah, that's not what they're using that VR headset for, man. It's for VR porn, man. That's the industry. And Naughty America, we talked about this in one of our early shows. Naughty America is over there at CES, but it looks like they're trying to keep that a little hidden. Not like in E3 where we saw the picture of like all those people surrounding those booths, but they're trying to keep it in the back. And what's kind of funny about this story is like when I was looking at it, they were talking about how they don't have like booth babes anymore. Because like at the other place, they kind of had like some booth babes standing out front, and they had like people working there. So here at CES, they had just a roll of cocktail tables containing VR headsets. Okay, that sounds normal, right? Mm-hmm. Washcloths and disposable headset protectors. So I'm like, wait, washcloths? I thought that was a misprint. I read it like 3-4 times. It actually says washcloths. Now, yes, I assume It could just be some washcloths that have Naughty America logo on it. But doesn't that seem just a little bit on the nose to have VR porn and like basically your nut rag sitting right next to it?
Oh, that's
crazy. Disposable
crazy.
Headset protectors. So think about that. You know, it's like, I don't know. Are they worried about some splashback? I don't know, man. But that combination of VR headset, washcloths, and disposable headset protectors, it just doesn't paint a pretty picture. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense, though, because if you go to this booth, you're just sitting there and you put on these headsets. I mean, really, what is that like demoing that? Like, what do you think, Randy? Like, if you were to walk in there and you see these guys sitting at the cocktail booth and it says Naughty America, would you ever want to be in that vicinity? Like, I understand why they cleared that place out.
Yeah, that's like, it's one of those, like, weird ass, like, type of a thing where it's like, okay, like, what the hell? Like, what the hell are you getting yourself into type of a thing? Like, are you going to sit there and be, like, you know, in the splash zone or, you know, shit like that? Like you said, it's like, holy crap, you know, like, they, like, it's obvious, like, they've been at, supposedly, I've heard they've been at CES for, like, forever, but, like, as more and more as they've, like, tried to make it more, like, hey, we're not going to, like, put this out there and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, they've sat there and they've, like, shoved them off into the corner pretty much as much as they could. And now it's gotten to the point where, like, you know, looking at this, like, article thing, like, they literally had them in a separate hall, like, with a door closed in between them. And they were kind of like, you know, hey, like, can we get the door opened and blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting to kind of, like, see how, like, A, how CES has evolved. Like you said, you were there 8 years ago, so I'm sure it was a completely different like thing than what it is now. But it's like, you know, let's face facts. VR is going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, especially now that you're moving way more into the mobile market that you can do that stuff on.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you got to give it to them because they're going to be like, hey, we're going to pioneer and we're going to be out there first and blah, blah, blah. Because I guarantee you, like, there's other places that are kind of doing this, but they're probably way ahead of them because they've probably been doing it for quite some time. So, I mean, it's that weird, like, I would think twice about, like, coming by. It's like, oh, they got washcloths here.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's for.
Could you imagine, though, like, because, I mean, this article is basically talking about how they put – at least Naughty America feels that there are extra rules for them. Like, there's rules saying that they can't stand in one spot. They have to walk around. There's, like, different things that they can or can't show. But I'm just thinking, like, if you're sitting at that booth, imagine if you're, like, one of the people that, you know, Naughty America volunteers, and you're walking around and someone's, like, at the VR. They're, like, they raise their hand. I need help. It's, like, you want to be that person?
Yeah.
You want to be, like, what is that, like, the designated fluffer? For the exhibit? You know, that just sounds like
that's too funny.
That price for admission to CES is a little too damn high.
Yeah, it's like it's just weird how, like, they're throwing these rules, but you know what? Like, hey, if CES seriously wants to be more family oriented, I could kind of see why they're doing it.
I guess. The problem with VR too is that you don't know what they're watching. So you see people on the bus or on the train, and it's like they just look a little bit too happy, and you're like, what the hell is this guy watching?
They can be watching man on woman. They can be watching midgets on freaking gay guys. It's like you never know what the hell they're watching. Kind of freaky crap they're looking at.
It's a brave new world we're in. CES was great because I've told stories about this before where you'd meet some of these people who were like executives or marketing people, and, you know, they're so professional, and then you catch them in the club at like 2 a.m. They ain't professional no more. Or worse yet, wake up in the morning and you see the walk of shame. You see, like, executives and marketing people going back and forth from hotel rooms. You're like, damn, I didn't know they got down like that. CES, man. See, that's the after party I want to be at.
I heard that, like, that wasn't just CES. So didn't you also say that, like, when you went to whatchamacallit?
Oh, E3?
To E3, it was just as crazy.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, man, you think that, like, it'll be nerds or something like that. you go to some of these parties, and yes, it'll be like nerdy stuff there. You'll see the video games, and you'll see some. You'll see that guy who doesn't realize he's not at home, and he'll like start playing. It's like demo machines. So you're like, you play a little bit, you leave, and there's this guy like trying to conduct a raid at the party. You're like, it's an after party. Have a drink, mingle. Don't fucking start a raid in World of Warcraft just because there happens to be a computer there. But, you know, besides that one couple of people over there doing that, everyone else is, like, mingling. And once you get, like, 2, 3 a.m., Vegas, Los Angeles, man, people want to party. Mm-hmm. And they're just looking for party after party, and they're drinking and drinking because everyone's getting Ubers and cabs. So, yeah, I've seen the
That reminds me a lot of, now that you say that, like, when I worked for GameStop, when I went to the damn, like, the manager convention thing that now they open it to the public. Man, let me tell you, I'll never forget the one. Well, I remember the one time, the first time we went, they did it in Dallas, and then, which was okay, like it was a little small hall and whatever, and we got to see a whole bunch of stuff. But the year after that, boy, let me tell you, we ruined that shit for all the future managers, because they did it in Vegas and they fucked up, son. Because they gave us vouchers for the hotels that we were in for $65 worth of food or drink. Let me let that sink in there. $65 of food or drink, and it did not specify that it had to be non-alcoholic.
Oh.
So 3 days that we were there, three vouchers is what they gave us. Okay? First night, we were going to go, you know, eat or whatever, and we realized that, oh, Microsoft was throwing, like, a beer and pizza party, after party type of a thing, so we went to that. So everybody drank beer, everybody ate pizza, nobody used their voucher. Second night, our district manager was like, cool, we're going to go to a buffet and this and that, and I ate. I don't even remember what casino it was. I think it was the Mandalay Bay one, and let me tell you, it was $65 per person, so it used up our entire voucher. But goddamn, what a buffet. Like, this place had anything you can think of. Lobster, crab, shrimp, oysters, you name it, it was on the freaking menu. You know, roast beef, I mean, fucking delicious. And then the third night, or the third day, it was literally a half day. And then that was it. The convention was over. Now, the thing that was funny was our flight wasn't until at night. So you had, about a dozen managers, give or take, that most of them either had one or two vouchers for $60, $65 worth of food or drink. Let's just say from about 2:30 in the afternoon till about 8 o'clock at night, which is when we had to leave for the airport, me and about all the managers in our district literally sat at the House of Blues, and we literally had probably about a dozen or more vouchers between all of us. So we were literally just ordering drinks after drinks after drinks after drinks.
Oh, my God.
So the bill came up like, oh, it's like, you know, $400-something. I'm like, here you go, all the vouchers. And the guy's like, okay, cool. And we left for the airport. Dude, to the point where I'll never forget this, our district manager, there were some guys that were so hammered. Like, number one, A, how hammered a lot of people were. Number B, the fact that there were about two managers that were under 21 that were in the House of Blues, and they were drinking. So they were hammered. Yo, this district manager comes, sees the whole group just standing there fucking like swaying, and he just looks at it, and he's like, fuck. He literally goes to the first place and buys a bunch of bottled water, starts handing it out to everybody. He's like, here, y'all need to drink this. And he just looked at everybody. He's like, y'all better hope you can get on this plane, because I ain't staying behind for none of you motherfuckers. And he's like, and yes, you guys have to be at work tomorrow. He's like, so you better get on the plane. One of the managers, the thing that was funny is one of the managers was so messed up when he went through the TSA checkpoint, and they were like, yeah, we need to see your ID. He was handing, instead of his license, he was handing them his GameStop rewards card because he thought that was his license. That's how hammered he was. And the guy behind him, like, saw what he's trying to hand him over. And he's, oh, yeah, look, hold on, huh? And pulled out his license. How we all got on that plane, I don't know. Oh, but we all got on the plane. And luckily, it was a red-eye flight. Literally, you would have heard everybody as soon as that plane was getting ready to take off that they freaking shut the lights off. All you heard throughout the whole flight was just everybody just dead asleep. Dead asleep. All the drunks passed out, dude. It was hilarious, dude.
I'm telling you, if you ever get a chance to go to any of these things as an employee or press, it's awesome. Like, when I first went to Vegas, I've been to Vegas 4 times. When I first went, it was for CES. And it was not only that, it was kind of like in the heyday beginnings of Obsolete Gamer. So I was still, well, no, I just got laid off from Alienware with the merger to Dell and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I went to CES, they were still there, the people that switched over to Dell, because I didn't want to go to Texas. And it was really cool because some of the upper people liked Obsolete Gamer just because, you know, it came from employees that were working at Alienware. And I remember that they had a party over at the MGM in one of the private clubs, like a smaller club. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you feel like a big shot because you get invited to these private clubs and, you know, it's in a fancy casino. So you're walking by and everyone else is like in line to get to the other side of the club, which is open for like the regular people. And then you just walk up into the VIP line and you feel like you're all cool. But what was really interesting was there were some executives there who, like, earlier in the day, there was a meeting and I was like trying to do interviews with some of these people. And these are like, you know, you would like super professional, you know, almost like stuffed shirt type people. When you would talk to them about anything, they'd be like, just blah, 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 blah. And you'd see them walking and talking and you're like, okay. So then you get to the after party and they're already a little bit looser, but, you know, nothing crazy. And this was like maybe like midnight. Mm-hmm. You're drinking, talking shop, blah, blah, blah. Come 3 a.m., man, this one lady was so blitzed. She was like rubbing the bald head of another executive, which I didn't realize he was bald. But she was rubbing his head so much, it like took off his toupee or whatever headpiece he had on. And she's like rubbing his head saying, oh, I love bald heads. I'll do this and that to bald heads. And I'm just sitting there. A friend of mine was there and we're just looking. We're like, man, it's amazing to see. Because look, you go to Mardi Gras, or you go to spring break, or down here in Miami, you can see drunk people anytime. But it's one thing to see, like, maybe a teenager, young people, whatever, you know, party goers who are, you expect to be drunk. It's another thing to see someone who's, like, probably district manager and runs, you know, these fancy companies just let loose. I mean, she was gone, and the guys were gone. I mean, these are, like, guys in their 50s, and they're just going crazy as if they're at Daytona spring break. And I'm like, that's what I liked.
That's what you see, the stress of the job, man, when they're freaking like, fuck it. Yeah. And they just let loose.
And then you start seeing them pair off and just leave, and they're holding hotel cards. You're like, man, these people are about to get freaky.
Let me tell you, if there was one thing that I'll never forget, like one of the dudes that I went to high school with, that he started working at this company, and he did like the IT stuff for the company. His company was opening up a branch in Japan. And what was really funny was he was the only one that worked in that branch that spoke fluent Japanese. Like, he took Japanese and all that because, like, he was like, oh, I want to sit there. And then the funny thing is his reasoning as to why he took Japanese as a second language, or third because he knew Spanish, was he's like, I want to be able to watch anime and understand what they're saying. That was his thing. And he did. And he spoke fluent Japanese and shit like that. Like, he would go to a Japanese restaurant ordering Japanese. And people would look at him like, oh, shit, you know Japanese. So his company was like, dude, we need you to just, like, to send you out because they want to open up they're opening up an office over there. And, like, we have all the people there. We just need you to, like, kind of, like, help get everything organized and, like, set everything up how it's going to be. He was like, cool. He literally lived in Japan for 6 months. His company paid for him to sit there and work there. Like, he had a stipend as far as, like, for food and stuff like that. But he... The one thing that he was like, it was two things that he sat there and he told me. He's like, number one, he's like, it is a crap ton of people. And when he means like, it's like, when I'm telling you there's a shit ton of people that live in Japan, he's like, you've been to New York? I said, yeah. He says, you've seen how busy it gets when people are going through like rush hour? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, imagine like 10 to 20 times that going around. Yeah, like he said it was insane. He's like that famous like major intersection in Japan where you can see down, like you can go into the buildings and look down on it. He's like, dude, when you see how much people just go crossing the street and how organized it is, he's like, it is like a sea of people. But the other thing that he sat there and he said, he's like, dude, he's like, I thought American office people like threw down when it came to happy hour. He's like, yo, they do not hold a candle to Japanese office people going to happy hour. And he was like, and it's not a one day a week. And he's like, no, every single day of the week, every weekday, Monday through Friday, after work, it's hitting up bar after bar after bar. Okay? He's like, to the point where in Japan, they have these little freaking, like, they almost look like little shacks that you would think homeless people live in. No, they're freaking little places that you can put money in. It opens a door and you pass out there and you wake up the next morning and go to work.
Oh, my God. They do that at South Beach.
Yeah, they have this shit in Japan. And he was like, dude, he remembers one day, the Friday. He said they go like hard in the paint Monday through Thursday. He's like, but they really get crazy Friday nights. He's like, Saturday and Sunday, you'll not see people in the bars in the city because no one's in the city. Everyone's at home. But he was like, yo, Friday, he went out after like literally going out every day with these people. He's like, I remember hitting the first bar. I remember hitting the second bar that they went to. And in Japan, they will not shut the bar down until you're like, all right, we're done drinking. We're going home. Okay? So you can sit there till 5 o'clock in the morning. They'll stay open. He's like, I remember going to the first. Remember going to the second. He's like, I think I remember going to the third bar. He's like, that's all I remember. He says he remembers waking up the next morning in his spot where they were paying for him. He looked around. He's like, oh, good. I made it home. But he was like, and then he talked to his coworkers. He's like, yeah, not only did they hit the third joint up, but they hit a fourth spot up.
Holy
He's
shit.
Like, I don't even remember hitting the fourth spot. But he was like, yo, it was nothing but good times and food and sake and this and that. He's like, bro, these people get crazy. Crazy. And he said the same thing. He says the freaking most uptight, you know, business people in those Japanese offices are the craziest ones. He's like, those are the dudes that are, he's like, those are the guys that are going around with like two drinks in one in each hand. Just like, he's like, bro, he's like, I couldn't look at these people in the same light after that.
And that's the thing. Then we turn back to the office and they're like 100% professional. And you're
100%
like,
100% professional. He was like, dude, you looked at him the next day. He's like, but you were like taking body shots off of a chick the other night. And he's like, and you're here like in a suit and tie. Like,
that's
insane.
That's after work. This is work.
Yeah, this is work. But he said, like, that was the thing that he said. It's like, he's never met a group of people that were like, when it's work time, it's work. But when it's go time, it's go time. You know, he was like, dude. He's like, it's like an on-off switch with those people. Like, as soon as the 5 o'clock, like, all right, let's go.
Damn. Oh, my God.
Now that we derailed the show.
No, I think we railed it, man. So, yeah, I mean, obviously with CES, VR is popular. And by the way, VR is not just popular with CES. It's also popular on Pornhub.
Surprise, surprise.
We kind of started the show with talking about like Pornhub. We also were talking about Naughty America, actually. So in 2017, with our first 2017 show, I guess it's kind of fitting to come full circle on that. So a lot of people search for a lot of things when they go looking for porn. VR is one of the fastest growing searches across the country. You know, people want that experience, I guess, like that first. I remember watching some of that first person pornography where the chick's looking at you and like, I don't know, it just, to me, it's
weird. Yeah,
but look, if whatever you're into, that's fine, but I just can't watch a video where someone's like looking at the camera, oh baby, I love you, you're so big. And you know what if you have like some kind of really self-deprecating thing, so she turns around, you're so huge, you're like, no I'm not, you know, it's like there's just a problem. Now, the 11th most popular search for these porn sites is Overwatch. And, you know, we told a story about how Blizzard was going around, like, going after these people who were making the adult versions of Overwatch, because, I mean, that was supposed to be, like, one of their big signature games coming out. Like, hey, everyone's going to play this. It's going to be tournaments. It's going to be the next big thing. And, you know, they talk about how the cast is so, quote, sexy. And people made all types of pornography, pictures, videos, animation, and yeah, Pornhub 11th most searched right there. People looking for Overwatch stuff. I mean, good God.
So, what's really funny is when you link me the thing to this story. If you want to get a really funny ass laugh, somebody that we've mentioned on this show before, Jim Sterling, who I love the stuff that he does, because he is like, there's people that love him, there's people that hate him. I love him because he is the type of person that will, if he's reviewing a game, he will give you the straight up, like, this is my opinion, this is what's good, this is what's crap. He loves to get all those, like, Steam early access games that are crap, that are asset flips, and just rail them. But when you look at it, it's like, you listen to what he says, and it's like, he's got a very good point, you know? I'm sorry, it's funny when I sit there and I think about it, because I saw the video. So he actually did a video where he reviewed one of the Overwatch porn things that they came out with. And what's funny about the thing, like, so it has no audio to it, so you don't hear what's going on. And he'll start to show the video where they're, like, clothed and stuff, and when they get down to the action, it's just, like, blurred. But you can see, like, he's watching it in live action. He's, like, commenting. And the one that he saw apparently was a scene where they had a chick dressed up as Black Widow having sex with a dude dressed up as Reaper. And the thing that was hilarious in listening to him describe this thing, he's like, so they're going to have sex, and the dude that's playing Reaper never removed the mask. So he's like, this just looks awkward as hell, because this dude, she's like stripping him from the waist down. He's wearing this like long jacket with this mask on and these gloves. He's like, which it almost looks like this guy can't do anything with those gloves on. And he's just talking about, he's like, that's gotta be uncomfortable as hell. He's like, if I were that guy, I'd probably be sweating buckets right about now.
They look like one of those, like, Day of the Dead masks. That's yeah. Like, imagine what that costume would look
so
like.
So it is hilarious, because, like, he's describing this whole scene as, like, they're trying to have sex and blah blah blah, and he's like, honestly, this guy should just take the stupid mask off because it looks so crazy and so awkward.
Is it worse than the Pikachu?
I don't know. Well, I haven't seen the videos. I don't know, but so that's the thing is of in the video, when you see the people in costume, like, it literally looks like they went out and bought they went to a place that would sell an Overwatch costume of Reaper.
Party
and
City.
Like, fuck it. Yeah. And it says, fuck it. But you can, like, see it's like a ridiculous costume also. Like, it isn't as scary as anything as the Pikachu, which I swear you probably still, like, have, now that I've said that, you're probably having, like, bad flashbacks of the, I told you, once you saw that, you couldn't unsee that. But watching that video of him review it, I pissed myself laughing of just listening to him trying to describe, like, this whole scene out. And he's like, this is just awful. He's like, this is awkward. He's like, that guy should just take the mask off, for crying out loud.
I know someone who their friend asked his girlfriend for his birthday, because they had this like running thing where on his birthday, each other's birthday, any sexual thing that they want, they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it just started out with just normal things that you could probably guess that a guy or a girl might want. Mm-hmm. But as it got, I mean, they've been together now like 9 years. As the time went on, they tried to make it more funny, like funny things that they would do. He asked her to dress up as Cooking Mama. And she did it. She took a picture of what she looked like in the costume. But the thing is that they had to get a big head. So she was doing it with a big Cooking Mama head. I'm just thinking to myself, how many people are probably asking their girlfriends and boyfriends, let's be fair, to dress up, you know, and do this stuff? It's like, would that be like, would that count on the furry? Because I guess it's not furry if you're not fur. It's just cosplay, I guess.
Yeah, it would be cosplay.
That needs its own, it shouldn't even just be just cosplay. It should have its own name that if you ask someone to dress up from a video game, that's its own category. We need to come up with a name for that. Maybe we'll put it out there to the audience to come up with a name just for that category.
That was the thing that was funny is like in the beginning part of the video, what you could see, like the costume that they came up with for like the girl that was dressed up as Widowmaker, like it was like, I don't know, I think it was like a lycra suit or it was like a leather kind of thing, but it looked exactly like the costume that her default skin. The thing that looked ridiculous on her was A, the gun looked freaking hilariously fake as hell, and then the her freaking little mask thing that she wears above on her head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The infrared thing looked funny as hell, too. But it was, like, hilarious. Like, when you see Reaper, it's like, holy Christ, that looks so freaking, like, that was bought at Party City website or some crap like that.
Bayonetta, that was hot, too. Like, a lot of people were doing the whole Bayonetta porn thing.
I remember that. Jesus Christ, yeah. And
that
the
game right had there. So much in it, man. That one character called Joy, and when you would fight her, she'd, like, have an orgasm during the game. It's like, what the?
Oh, you had that. You had all the Tomb Raider. That was, I remember, huge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love the picture of Tomb Raider where they show the costume, but it's the pixelated one. So she's wearing something that has pixelated
like the
boobs.
The triangular boobs. I remember that. The other one that was hilarious that I remember one of my friends told me about was that girl from Street Fighter.
Cammy?
No, not Cammy. The one that she was in Final Fight, and they put her into like the Street Fighter fighting game, like the Street Fighter versus Capcom games. That she was the chick that had the like pink hair with the like really short shorts, and then they like said, "Oh, that."
Oh, Roxy. People,
was it Roxy?
Yeah.
But Roxy. It was like the chick
Poison. Roxy
Poison. Yeah. So like that it was hilarious because I remember like the big thing with her was at first when that game came out, people were like the SJWs were like, oh, but you're beating up a woman and this and that. And they're like, well, technically she's not a woman because she was like a transgender guy. And that was their okay. You could beat up a woman because she was a guy. I heard a friend of mine told me he's like, apparently like they did a porn parody of that with like a Street Fighter-ish, like a Street Fighter versus Capcom, or I think it was Final Fight, like a Final Fight spin-off thing like that. That was hilarious. He said it was the most ridiculous thing he's ever seen.
I could imagine Hagar, the wrestler guy.
Oh my God.
There's so much portal things that you could do with it.
Dude, you could do, like, if you sit there and think about it, think of Street Fighter, think of Final Fight. I mean, yeah. Jesus. We could probably come up with a list a mile long of all the different games that they'd probably end up doing. I mean, Christ, they've done freaking the Avengers wannabe spinoff, like all the Marvel.
I mean, they had a Super Mario Brothers porn for heaven's sake. So, I mean, there really isn't anything, you know, that they won't come up with.
Bounds or limits that they'd do it.
And you can watch it with VR so no one knows what you're doing. Just make sure that the sound doesn't leak through, you know. What are you watching? Oh, no. A documentary. Yeah.
A documentary.
Why you have your why are you coming up your lap for that documentary?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. Yeah,
but I find that hilarious that was like it was almost top 10, I think, in searches in Pornhub.
Yeah, I mean,
next year they're gonna break the top 10. I guarantee you.
Hey, look, gamers are taking over, man. It's like, you know, you go and you can watch TV and you have like the comic book culture, and then you can watch, you know, you're playing all these games that are still going strong, and then now you have the porn industry overran white games. I mean, we're living a golden age, people.
Oh, brother. Good. You gotta love the internets.
Oh, yes. And 2017 is going to be miraculous. Before we go, you got any updates on what's going on with the new show?
So, yeah. So I started my staycation yesterday. So today, or I'm gonna like now tomorrow, like I'm pretty much off the entire week, so I'm gonna start like getting everything together, getting it all written up, my ideas and all that. I'll probably be emailing you a whole bunch of stuff or texting you a whole bunch of stuff, because I have an idea of when we do the first show, what I want to do, what game I want to pick for the first show. And I need to see about how to figure out how to record an intro for it. So I got to look for something to do that with. So then we can get all that going, so I can get that to you. And then maybe you can also show me how the editing part of doing it through the Google, like the recording it off of this and doing that, then that way I could actually host it, record it, and then I can get it edited. If not, like we could do it like how we do our show here. And then like I'll just send you the intro thing and all that. And then like it would be cool to figure out like if you could show me how to do that. The editing part.
Show
the tricks, how you put the pictures in, all that crap. But it's something that, like, you know, we've discussed it already a good bit off show. But I have good feelings of like this would be something like cool that we could do on the off weeks that we're not doing this show. But I don't know if we want to make an announcement as to what it's going to be or whatnot. I don't know.
No, we can wait till it's a little bit closer. But, okay. You know, just know that 2017 is going to be bringing a lot more from You Don't Get the Show, from the Absolute Gamer Show, and a special project coming soon.
Special project that hopefully you'll like. And we'll make sure we have to put titties in it somehow so that way we get more hits.
Yes, it's in our contracts.
It's in our contracts now.
All right, well, I think this is a good show. Put it together nice and tight. You know, start off the year really going really well. All right, so, you know, we'll be back really soon for another show because, you know, we love doing this. I know you like watching and listening to this. The numbers have been good. We keep growing. Thanks, you guys. We appreciate that for reals. You know, keep watching, keep leaving comments, and even the guys on the podcast, listen to us. Don't get in trouble, though. You know, be careful. I do football work safe so that you guys don't get in trouble, you know, bosses or anything. But
boss come around the corner, fuck you listening to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are they talking about? Porn? What? What's that? But the key is, don't get offended, because if you do, guess what? You didn't get the show. All right. I'm J.A., he's Randy. We'll be back real soon. Until then, that's right.